You are listening to TLRStation.com.
A Graceful Journey radio program is where you will hear powerful conversations, insights, and knowledge to help you when family caregiving calls. Host Lorna Scott brings a powerful combination of experience as a family caregiver and professional expertise as a coach and counselor. You will be empowered to meet demands, find balance, all while caring for yourself that help you find grace, peace, hope, and joy in your caregiver journey.
Hello, and welcome to a Graceful Journey radio program powered by Tenacious Living Network. My name is Lorna M. Scott, author of the best-selling book, Walking the Journey Together, Alone, Finding Peace, Hope, and Joy in the Middle of the I'm your host, and today we're going to talk about love tanks, your love tank, the love tank of someone you're caring for or somebody you love, and how you can fill your love tank. I've read this book. It's called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Now, I read the book actually long past the time that I learned this concept, and it's really quite unique, and it's made such a difference in my relationships with my husband, just as our marital relationship. And I used these strategies when I was caregiving as well, because they're I think, timeless and overarching. We can use them for anything. So what Gary Chapman talks about is that we have love languages, and it's similar to our spoken or written languages. And what can happen is if we're speaking our language, and perhaps it's English, and we're talking to somebody who speaks Chinese or Spanish, we don't understand each other. And they're speaking their language to us, and we don't understand them. And we do the same kinds of things when we're speaking our love language. This is a concept about emotional love and about how we express it and also how we receive it. And it's so important to learn, and I can hardly wait to get into this and talk to you about it. So what he says, what Gary Chapman has said, is there's five emotional love languages, and these are the five ways that people speak and understand their emotional love. So regardless of what the relationship is, I mentioned this, that I used it first in our marriage, and this is where I learned it and started to practice and see the beauty in it. It does work for parent-child relationships. It works in the workplace. And in fact, even though he started with the Five Love Languages book, Gary Chapman has expanded this to using the five love languages in the workplace and with children. What he also talks about is dialects of love languages. So, you might be thinking, five love languages? Well, I see on Oprah's magazine that there's 101 ways to tell your spouse you love them. Or, you know, the top 15 ways to tell your husband you care. Well, these are what he calls dialects. It's like there's Chinese. You might speak Chinese, but there's a dialect of Mandarin. There's a dialect that's going to be in certain parts of the country, and they're just going to be tweaked a wee little bit. And that's what these 101 or the top 15 things are like. Is they're basically the ways that you can express your love languages. The way that I found this worked wonderfully and eased a lot of stress in my marriage was when I realized that even though my love language was gifts, that's one of my top love languages is gifts. So what I wanted from my husband was for him to think about me on Friday when he came home from work, that he'd be so happy to see me, the work week's done, and bring me some flowers. That, and I hated that he didn't bring me flowers. And I thought, how simple is that? I mean, it's really pretty easy. You just stop at the store you drive by on the way home, pick up some flowers, and, you know, you've got a happy wife. And you know what they say, happy wife, happy life. And he just didn't get it. He said, why would I buy you something that dies? And he just didn't understand why I wanted that so much. And in one argument, I remember distinctly, he is standing over the sink finishing up the cleaning up the kitchen, and I'm on the other side of the counter not doing any cleaning. And he said, "What do you want from me? I cook for you. I clean for you. You know, I'll even wash the floors for you. I do the laundry for you. Why isn't that just enough?" And I'm going, how romantic is that? Like, really? There's no romance, the fact that you're cleaning the floor. But what I learned by learning the love languages is that that is how he told me he loved me. His love language is acts of service. So he just kept doing more acts of service. The more unhappy I was, the more acts of service he was doing, because that's his love language. But I saw that he loved me less because he was more worried about doing these, you know, what I thought were crummy chores. It didn't speak to me at all. And if he'd only just like let me clean the floor and go buy me flowers, I'd have been a happy girl. So one of the things that Gary Chapman talks about, and you can see how this happened in this situation, is the love tank. My love tank was empty because I wanted the gifts. And the other love language that I have that's almost equal to gifts is quality time. And if he's doing dishes and doing the laundry and doing all these things, I'm not getting any time with him. So my two top love languages weren't being filled. So my love tank depleted. Now, I mean, in reverse, so was his, because I wanted to give him gifts and he didn't quite get excited about that. I had no interest in doing acts of service for him because that's not my love languages. And, you know, I would acknowledge him more through gifts or wanting to spend time with him, and that didn't fill his love tank. So it's no wonder that we went through two or three really serious rounds of marital discord and having issues around that, because we just weren't filling each other's love tanks up, and we were spending a ton of energy trying to do it and not getting it right. So that is what the love tank is about. And that comes from some work with child psychologists, and it kind of goes back to that part that every child has that emotional tank, and it needs to be filled with love. This is where it starts, and that's why this is so important to learn. And whether you use it in your caregiving life or you can take it to your family, these are really cool strategies to use that can make a phenomenal difference in your whole world and perspective, and in your most intimate relationships as well. So with this emotional tank, the children are just waiting for this to be filled with love. So if you can imagine that maybe ever since you've been a child, your love tank has never been filled. And if you need that love and you're not getting it, you tend to misbehave and act out. And that's when some of those instances of huge fights in a marriage, you know, the yelling, screaming matches. That's what happens when you fight with your kids. You know, your boss doesn't treat you right. It's quite possible that your love tank hasn't been filled and maybe hasn't been filled for years. And we see this in the kids when they misbehave and act out, and we just keep telling them, you know, not to, and we give them a whole pile of different messages, when what's happening is that their love tank is likely empty. And if we can figure out which love language they have and start filling that love tank, then we will likely see quite a dramatic change in their behavior. And in caregiving, that this happens a lot for our love tank. It is drained and depleted more often than it is filled. Now, there is a little twist to this, because even though our love tank may be empty, what we might need to start with is to start filling the love tank of the person we're caring for, or of our children, or of our spouse, maybe even taking this into the workplace if that's what you do. It's a bit counterintuitive. It's a little twist on it. But when you start filling up someone else's love tank, they start to change. Their behavior changes. They feel better. And then they become more inclined to fill yours. I mean, reality is you're speaking and you're doing things with these people anyway. You're caregiving for somebody. You're in a relationship with someone. If you're caregiving, you're not in isolation in any way, shape, or form. This can be a way that you might even learn how to fill the love tank of the medical professionals in a certain way that might help with strengthen that relationship. You're looking after this person. You're talking to them. You're doing things anyway. If we can find the right things that fill their love tank, it'll change a whole different perspective. So after the break, we're going to dive into what the five love languages are and find out the ones that fill your love tank. So you're listening to A Graceful Journey radio show, part of the Tenacious Living Network. We'll be back after the break.
I didn't order this. Can I send it back? This is one of the powerful Caregiver Mastery signature talks that Lorna M. Scott can bring to your community group, support group, or workplace. She will inspire your audience to change how they think about family caregivers and empower them with key steps for creating a caregiving life by embracing the family caregiver role while putting work, life, family balance back into their lives. Stop the Madness is another popular talk, along with Staying Strong, How to Look After You. Contact Lorna at 403-548-8437 or Lorna at lornamscott.com to book her for your next conference, workshop, seminar, or keynote presentation.
Are you ready to change your perspective? Ready to live outside the box? Then our Fearless Life Workshop is for you. Carrie Ann Barron, owner of TLRStation.com, facilitates this workshop and helps you identify the thoughts, feelings, and actions that may be keeping you from living the life you want. Based on the best-selling book, Fearless Living by Rhonda Britton, the workshop is interactive, experiential, thought-provoking, practical, and fun. Visit tenaciousliving.org to find out more.
You're listening to Tenacious Living Radio.
Welcome back to A Graceful Journey radio program powered by the Tenacious Living Network. Before the break, I introduced you to The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And this show is based on his book, which is called The Five Love Languages. And you can find him at thefivelovelanguages.com. That's five with the number five. It has all the tools for you to figure out what your love language is. But I'm going to introduce you to the five love languages and start your brain thinking about which ones might be yours, and also thinking about which ones might be the person you're caring for or the other significant people in the life and the other significant people in your life. So the first love language is words of affirmation. And this is basically compliments. It's giving people feedback in the spoken word. It's verbal compliments, words of appreciation. So in the previous episode with Angelique, we talked about gratitude. This is about expressing your gratitude to people. And it's generally in simple, straightforward statements like, you look sharp in that suit. Wow, you know, does that dress ever look great on you? Those are the things that are words of affirmation. It doesn't really get more complicated than that. It is important to use the kind words and encouraging words. So if you wanted a special meal for dinner, if you really love something that your spouse cooks for you, you could say something like, could we make that good pasta for dinner one night? That would be words of affirmation. Saying something like, can't we get a decent meal around here, is not words of affirmation. Your thought may be the same, but the words come out different. So it's important to keep them kind, keep them humble. Remind yourself that if your spouse's or the person you're caring for, if their love language is words of affirmation, that words are very, very important. And that's something that you just want to keep in mind all the time. And if this is something that speaks to your love language, then you can teach people to say, you know, you, I'd really like to hear what you thought about that meal, or I'd really like to hear what you appreciate about me. That's kind of a bold, risky statement, but just to ask that, you will get what you need to fill your own love tank. So you could keep a written record of all the written affirmations that you give to somebody, because that can help spark your mind when you need to go forward, or you know that you need to give those words of affirmation to the person you're caring for and just can't think of anything. So you could, you know, say you did a great job on this meal, you look great in that outfit. One of the things I like to do just for anybody, even if they're love language isn't words of affirmation, is find something that I see, whether they're wearing or if their eyes sparkle or a smile, and comment on it when I'm speaking with them. And, you know, it really makes a difference in their mind and in their day. You can set a goal to give your spouse a different compliment each day for a whole month. Just one compliment a day. That's it. For 30 days, and see what change that is. The second love language is quality time. And this means giving someone your undivided attention. It doesn't mean sitting on the couch watching TV together. And this is a thing where, after reading this, I realized why I used to get frustrated when I would say, "Callum, we need to do something together." And he'd say, "Let's go to a movie." For him, that was fine. It was entertainment. I wanted quality time. So yes, we spent 3 hours in the same place, but we didn't spend quality time together. We spent time together, but it wasn't the love language quality time. So what you want to be looking at is maybe taking a walk, just the two of you, or just having a conversation over tea can really help. Maybe it's the breakfast conversation if you're caring for somebody that is living in the same house as you. It could be that undivided attention over a meal. So some key things are to maintain eye contact when you're speaking with that person. It keeps your mind from wandering, and it communicates to that person that they have your full attention. And you can ask for that. Again, if your love language is quality time, you can say, "You know what? I really want to have a good conversation. Can you just look at me so I know that we're engaged?" It sounds a little funny maybe to start with, but it helps you give that message to the person that you're communicating with, that you're having that conversation with, that this is something that's important to you, without explaining it like I am. It just becomes more natural. So it's that undivided attention again. If you're going to have the conversation with that person whose love language is quality time, then pay attention to them. Don't be doing two things at the same time. And listen for feelings. So if you can listen to what they're saying and see if there's any feelings behind it, because you might find that they're feeling disappointed or they're feeling scared, especially in the caregiving world. They might be worried. You might find, on the positive side, that they're really happy and excited about something and haven't had a chance to express it. And look for their body language. Do they have clenched fists or trembling hands? Are there tears starting? Maybe it's that big smile, you know, whatever, that glint in their eye, if it is something exciting. So some things you can do for the quality time is take that walk together. You could go to a park. If both you and the person that you're with are mobile, you could, you know, rent bicycles or go, you could go golfing. Some of those things, sports, can be done together and be quality time. You could ask the other person for a list of 5 activities that they'd enjoy doing with you. And think of an activity and take one from that list about what brings little pleasure to you, but a lot of pleasure to them. And just tell them that you're trying to broaden your horizons, and that will, they get the good part out of it, and so do you. You get a shared response with that. The third love language is receiving gifts. And throughout the latter part of my life, I have been less shy about liking gifts. I certainly was raised in a home where you didn't ask for gifts, and you didn't, you know, grandparents, you didn't go ask them for money. because sometimes grandparents do that. I know my dad did that for my son at hockey games, not necessarily based on anything other than if he, you know, maybe had a good game or whatever. Whenever my dad decided, that's just when he would maybe pop him a dollar or something. And this is more than that, but I learned to not ask. You know, I didn't want my kids to go in and say, "Grandpa, can I have a dollar?" That was rude. And yet I found that if I didn't tell people that I like getting gifts, then I likely wouldn't get them. And it's easy for me to now to figure out whose love languages is receiving gifts, because those are the people I get the gifts from even when I don't ask. And really, this is, it's that simple. It's giving something to somebody else. And it could be as fundamental, and gifts transcend cultural barriers, and it's just my favorite love language. So what are some different ways that you can receive gifts or give gifts to somebody whose love language is gifts? You could do, this is really cool, a parade of gifts. So you can leave box of candy or a sweet treat of some kind in the morning, have flowers delivered in the afternoon, and then have a gift at the end of the day. And if they ask you what's going on, just say that you're filling their love tank. You could do that parade of gifts maybe, you know, every day for their birthday month. You could, I've seen somebody give, it was for a 40th birthday, but they did 40 different gifts based on their birthday, the age they were at the birthday. So sometimes you can even just be spontaneous with it. And if you're walking through the neighborhood or through a park, there may be a stone or a stick or a feather that makes you feel kind of special. And maybe you have some meaning you can attach to it. It might be a smooth stone that symbolizes the marriage with, you know, many rough spots polished out now. You know, just the wind beneath your wings kind of thing from a feather. And you can give that as a gift. There's always the handmade originals, so you can, if you like some of the art classes, whether it's pottery or painting, some kind of crafts, those are things you could give as gifts. With computers now, we can make computer cards. We can make almost anything on the computer and give that as well. And you can always keep track in a gift idea notebook. Every time you hear the person say, "I really like that," write it down in your notebook. If you listen carefully, you will get quite a list on the things that they like and what they would like to receive. And then when you're ready to give a gift, you can always just go to that list and it's already there. Sometimes the gift is a presence, and you can specifically say that to them so that it's differentiated from quality time. You can say, "I want to offer the gift of my presence at any event or an occasion you would like this month. So just tell me where and when you want me to be, and I'll be there." This is something that my husband did do for me. He came to numerous concerts. One in particular that I was very thankful for was a Bryan Adams concert. Bryan Adams has been one of my biggest music heroes in my life for years. And my husband, on his own birthday, came to a Bryan Adams concert. He doesn't necessarily like Bryan Adams. He knew how important it was for me. And that's one of the things that he did, was give me the gift of quality time. And if it was for him, and when I went to Tragically Hip with him, it was the gift of that was a gift of presence for me to him. The fourth love language is the acts of service. And I mentioned that this was one of my husband's gifts, was acts of service, or one of his love languages. Sorry, I'm the one with gifts. So acts of service are doing things for someone else. So it means doing things that you know that they would like you to do. So you please people by serving them, expressing love for them by doing things. And that's cooking the meal, maybe setting a table. It could be washing dishes. A lot of this goes around tasks, household tasks. It could be about keeping the car in operating condition. It could be the person who looks after the pet, feeding the pet, cleaning up after the pet, taking, your dog or cat to the vet, walking them. It could be dealing with bills, anything that takes some planning, time, effort, and energy. And they're done with a positive spirit. They are really expressions of love. I think these are the most visible ones to see because they are because of the acts of service. So some of the things that you could do to help fill the love tank of somebody who whose love language is acts of service is to make a list of all the requests that they've made of you over the past few weeks. And then pick one and do it as an expression of love, not as a have-to-do task. You can print note cards with the with this sentence starter just to help get you in the mindset of doing this. And you could turn this around as well to do these cards and then give them to someone else. But if you're filling up someone else's love tank, you can start with, "Today I will show my love for you by," and then filling in the acts of service. And it could be picking up the clutter, paying the bills, fixing something that's broken. It could be planting the garden, yard work, any of those kinds of things that you can do to serve somebody else. And if I'd have noticed this, I'd have had a lot different list of what I wanted to do for my husband. And I guess I stepped into that role as a caregiver. I started doing those acts of service for him, and it kind of fed both of our love languages as well. And yet I missed many years that I didn't do this and had that stress. So if it's your love tank and you want somebody else to fill it and you want to help them with that, you can say, "Here's a card," and you would write, "Today I will show," and then put in your name, "My love for you by," and then you could fill in that blank. So if I was giving this, or if Callum was giving it to me, he would say, "Today I will show Callum my love. I will show Callum my love for him by doing, filling the car up with gas." So that's what I might do for him. You could ask them to make a list of 10 things that they would like you to do, or you could give that list to somebody else. And to finish off the five love languages, we have the love language of physical touch. And again, this isn't rocket science. It's pretty easy. It's holding hands, kissing, embracing. It could be stroking the hair. It could be touching a hand on the shoulder. You might have be caring for somebody where physical touch might hurt them. So just, you know, be careful with that and gentle if that is the case for you. So some of the things that you can do to show that is as you walk from the car to go shopping, or if you're out and about in the medical, you know, going to medical appointments, wherever you are, you can just reach out and hold their hand. You could let your knee or foot kind of drift over to the other person when you're out at, you know, or even at home eating, or if you're at that appointment, you could just put your hand on their knee. You could walk up to them and say, "Have I told you lately that I love you?" And then give them a hug. Even the hug without words is a good way to show love language. And that's a way to show your love language to somebody else if you initiate the hug. You can do shoulder massages, even hand or foot massages are an excellent way to do it as well. Even putting your arms around somebody's shoulder and, you know, just those little pieces of touch that you just do it as much as you're comfortable with, as much as they'll receive. But if their love language is touch, they will be happy to receive that touch. And certainly be gentle if you are caring for somebody who has some pain and, you know, come up with some creative ways. It might be like even a finger massage or something like that that might work better for them. That's a quick snapshot of the five love languages. I really encourage you to either pick up the book and do the quiz in the back to at least get an idea of what your love language is, or go to the website, 5lovelanguages.com, and there's online questionnaires you can do that will help you with that as well. And there is some information if you think this might work in your workplace or with children. It's quite a fabulous idea and very helpful in the caregiving world in learning how to communicate with the person that you're caregiving for, the medical community, and all the professional support. So that's it for today. You're listening to A Graceful Journey radio show powered by Tenacious Living Network. May you find peace, hope, and joy in every day.
Thank you for joining us on A Graceful Journey. Interested in learning more about caregiver mastery? An empowering way to meet demands, find balance, all while caring for yourself that help you find grace, peace, hope, and joy in your journey. Then Lorna M. Scott would love to connect with you. Contact her at lorna@lornamscott.com. We will see you next week, same day and time.